Welcome to Healing Fire Ministries. We hope you will be blessed as you listen to this message. God bless you.
Now, we have been talking about God's prophetic timeline. Amen. And I hope that, you have been informed, because I think one of the most comforting things is to know what happens, after you die. Growing up, whenever I thought about death, I'd be terrified. It will terrify me because I used to want to know what will happen to me when I die. And whenever I thought of it, because I was young, I had no answers, it used to scare me. And so the way that I used to deal with it was to try not to think about it. But when I got saved, and not only when I got saved, but when I started reading the Bible and started listening to men and women of God who preached in this line, I started realizing that death is not scary. Death is something that translates you to another realm, if I can say. And when you don't know what's going to happen to you, you become afraid. But if you are aware and conscious of what happens, then you are not afraid. Are you listening to me? My only fear is to disappoint my God. I'm not afraid of dying. Because I know that if I die today, I go to heaven. But what I'm afraid of is that when I get there, will he be happy with me? Because I know there's a work that I must do before I die. Are you listening to me? And not only me, you also have a work that you must do before you die. If there was no work that you must do, immediately after you got born again, you are immediately going to be taken to heaven. But you got born again and you are still here. It means that you must fulfill a purpose before God takes you. Are you listening to me? And one of my greatest desires as your pastor is to build you to be a soldier for Jesus. As soon as we have finished building this church building project, I'm going to begin a very rigorous training regimen for you. I'm going to make you a soldier for Christ, if you will allow me. Because some people won't allow. I'll say, be here at 6 and you won't come. But those who will come, you are going to be transformed into being a soldier for Jesus Christ. And by God's grace, when you get to heaven, you will not get there empty-handed. Are you listening to me, somebody? All right, so these teachings that I'm teaching you are just giving you information on what will happen hereafter. As soon as Jesus comes back, we'll be raptured. When we are raptured, what's going to happen when we get to heaven? While we are in heaven, what will be happening here on the earth? Which are things that we have discussed. Hallelujah. Now, today I want to talk on a subject that I have entitled the millennium. Someone say the millennium. Now, what is the millennium? Now, everything I'm talking about today, you must listen to it with the information that I've already given you in mind. So, this angel came to visit Daniel and told Daniel about this 490-year period. Do you remember? So, everything I've taught you from when I began this series up until last week, Sunday, talks about what's going to happen in this 490-year period. Now, today, I'll be talking about what happens when that 490-year period ends. When that 490-year period ends, we will begin a new timeline of this 1,000 years. that we call the millennium. Are you listening to me? So I told you that the first 49 years of that 490-year period was for the rebuilding of Jerusalem. So once Jerusalem was rebuilt, the next timeline, which took us to 483 years, was for the coming of the Messiah, for his death, his resurrection. And then once Jesus died, rose from the dead, we began what we are living in now, which is called the grace period, or the dispensation of grace. So what is left now is the final 7 years that will complete the 490-year prophecy that the angel gave to Daniel. Once that prophecy is complete, we begin another period, which is called the millennium, or the 1,000 years. I hope you are with me so far. Now, this 1,000 years will begin when Jesus comes back. As I've explained before, there are three comings of Jesus. The first one is when he came to the earth, lived for 33 years, died, went into the grave, rose from the dead. The second coming will be when he comes to rapture the church. He will come, he will not come to the earth, he will just stay on the clouds. Those who are dead will be resurrected. Those who are alive will be transformed, and we'll all go join him in the clouds, and he will take us to heaven. The last and final one will be what the church or is termed the second advent. That one is what I spoke about 2 weeks ago, I think, when I spoke about the Antichrist, and I told you that Jesus is going to come with all the resurrected saints that will come to battle the Antichrist. The Antichrist would have called many nations to come to Jerusalem to come and fight against Jesus and the saints. We are going to defeat, the army of Christ is going to defeat the Antichrist and the armies of this world. Now, once they have been defeated, there begins the final, or the millennium, if I can say. Hallelujah. So once the Antichrist is defeated, we start a new timeline of that 1,000 years. Amen. Hallelujah. Now, what is going to happen in those 1,000 years? Come with me to Revelation chapter 20. Everything I'm saying is in your Bible, okay? I'm not making it up. Revelation chapter 20, reading from verse 1. Revelation is just before Genesis. Revelation chapter 20 from verse 1. Are you there? I'm joking. It's the last book in the Bible. The Bible says, "And I saw an angel come down from heaven, having the key of the bottomless pit, and a great chain in his hand. And he laid hold on the dragon, that old serpent, which is the devil and Satan, and bound him 1,000 years, and cast him into the bottomless pit, and shut him up, and set a seal upon him, that he should deceive the nations no more, till 1,000 years should be fulfilled, and after that he must be loosed a little season." Hallelujah. So the first thing that is going to happen in those 1,000 years is that Satan will be arrested. The Bible says an angel will come and will lock up Satan with a chain, and he will be imprisoned in one of the compartments of hell. Remember, I told you hell has five compartments, and one of them is called the bottomless pit. So he will be imprisoned there for that whole 1,000-year period. So during that 1,000-year period, there'll be no Satan in the earth. I think, put your hands together for Jesus. I think that is powerful. Ever since we were born, Satan has been around, troubling us, giving us hell on earth. But by the grace of God, during that period, he will be arrested. And you see, Satan is weak. It's not even God that is going to come down to arrest him. God will say, hey, Mr. Angel, just go deal with him quickly. He's a very weak guy. Hallelujah. So the first thing is that Satan himself is going to be arrested. And what I want you to notice here, the Bible says that he will deceive the nations no more during that period. In this life, Monica, one of the things that you really have to worry about is deception. Satan is good. Satan can make you think that the sky... What color is the sky today? Hello? Blue. Satan can make you think that the sky is orange. As you look here, you are seeing orange when all of us are seeing blue. He's good. One day, a certain bride came to me and said, I need your help. And I said, oh, how can I help you? And he said that I've got a cousin that I need you to pray for. So I said, no problem, bring your cousin. When I spoke to this cousin, she told me that, look, well, I prayed for her. Then after I prayed for her, she told me this. She said that I almost believed that Satan is good and God is bad. Did you hear what I say? She said, that I believed that Satan is good and God is bad. So this guy is a master deceiver. And that is why a couple of weeks ago, I told you that it's important that we always work on ourselves and ensure that we are still on the right track. Because Satan can make you think that you are on the right track. That time, you are heading for death. You are heading for danger. But by the grace of God, in those 1,000 years, he will be arrested. Hallelujah. I think that deserves one more hand. Give the Lord a hand. That Satan will be arrested for 1,000 years. Hallelujah. Let's jump to verse 6. Are you there? The Bible says, blessed and holy is he that hath part in the first resurrection. On such the second death has no power. But they shall be priests of God and of Christ, and shall reign with him 1,000 years. Hallelujah. So what does this mean? It means that when Jesus comes to the earth at the beginning of those 1,000 years, he's coming to rule. He's coming to take power. He's coming to take dominion. He's coming to reign over the world. Currently, the Bible says that Satan is the god of this world. Whether you like it or don't like it, he is the god of this world. But when Jesus comes back, he's coming to change all of that nonsense. And he himself will begin to reign and rule over the world. And you can imagine that the one who is in charge, because of who is in charge, you will see a certain culture in the world. So because Satan is in charge, you see a lot of things that lead to death, a lot of things that lead to destruction, a lot of things that lead to pain, a lot of things that lead to sorrow, a lot of things that lead people away from God. This is as a result of the person who is in charge, whether you see him or not. I remember one day I came from work. Those days I used to work. I never had a car, so I used to catch public transport. And I remember I met my friend in town and he said, please walk me to a shop. When we got to the shop, he was going to buy some meat. And I remember that day I was feeling so down. And as I was in the shop, I saw a lady with a handbag, carrying a handbag. And she's just walking, and she's just walking. When the security guard just made the mistake of looking somewhere else, I saw that lady moving with the speed of light. She took a bribe pack and with speed put it in her handbag, and she continued moving and talking as though nothing has happened. That time she has just put a handbag, a bribe pack, just like that. I said, what a shock. I was stunned. I didn't know what to do. I was like, should I tell the people? Should I? And I was already feeling bad. I was starting to feel even worse. Hallelujah. This is as a result of the people or the person who is in charge. When you get stopped by a policeman, instead of him making sure that your lights are working properly, he is happy that you give him 20 rand. Cold drink. That time your lights can kill you because they are still not fixed. But he's gone with his 20 rand and he's happy. This is as a result of the god of this world, which is Satan. But when Jesus comes to rule, all this is going to change. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. All this is going to change. So he's coming to reign, and he's not coming to reign alone. He's going to reign with the resurrected saints. So if you are part of the first resurrection, you will come back with him and you will come to reign with him. You will help administer his dominion. You will help him to take over this world. Amen. And I'm sure that you have some big position here on the earth. Put your hands together for Jesus for that. Amen. Now, when Jesus comes to dominate, the major work that he'll be doing is that he will be restoring the earth. Someone say restoration. Now, come with me to Romans chapter 12 from verse 1. The book of Romans, the 12th chapter and the first verse. Romans chapter 12, reading from verse 1. Are you there? The Bible says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Amen. Now ask your neighbor, say, my nice neighbor, is your body a living sacrifice? Is your body holy? Hey, ask your neighbor, is your body holy? One day God was angry because he had established that the Israelites must always bring offerings to him. Are you listening to me? So as this thing continued, it happened that they stopped bringing their best offering to God. That time they used to offer sheep, goats, cows, those types of things. And so what was happening, Mom Ruth, was that instead of someone bringing their best sheep to come and give to their God, they will look for the most sick sheep. A sheep that is coughing. Have you ever heard a coughing sheep? They will bring the one that has three legs instead of having four legs. That's the one that they will come to bring to God. They will bring the one that is almost dying, where you can see the bones, the ribs. Some of us, this is what we want to give to God when it comes to ourselves. You want the world to suck all the goodness out of your life. Johnny is going to come and suck all your good. Susan, ha! Suck all your good. When all your youth is finished, when all your energy is finished, when all your wealth is finished, then you say, hey, let us go to praise the Lord. Let us go. Sis, man. God also wants you while you are still fresh. God still wants you while you have energy. God wants you to give him your time. God wants you to give him your love. That's why the Bible says that we must offer our bodies as a living sacrifice. Holy, 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 clean. Holy means clean. Amen. Acceptable. One day, Cain and Abel came to give offerings to God. God accepted Abel's offering. In other words, there are offerings that are unacceptable that God can reject. Are you listening to me? Amen. It's not everything that you want to give to God that he will take. He wants a holy offering. He wants an acceptable offering. Even people who want tenders, they know that they have to bring real brown envelopes. They mustn't play for them to get tenders. One of my colleagues was telling me that he used to work for a certain company where he used to earn about 700,000 a month back in those days when Thabo Mbeki was still president. And he says that he used to work for a construction company, and everyone in this company used to drive Range Rovers, Mercedes Benz, BMWs. Like if you had a small car, it's like, what's wrong with you? That the company was like that. And the boss of the company used to move around with ministers. They used to go and have parties there together. And then one day, my colleague tells me, he says that one day, the boss said, I want you to drive my car and take it wherever. And when you get there, you'll find a man. When you get to that man, I want you to go to the boot and give him what is in the boot. So the guy drove. And he stopped somewhere because, you know, curiosity. He opened the boot and he checked and he found a brown envelope. When he checked what was inside, he said, I've never seen money like that before. Hundreds of thousands. And that was to get tenders. What a shock. So God cannot be bribed. Whatever you give to God must be acceptable. And God doesn't want anything but you. God wants you. God wants your heart to be holy. God wants your time. God wants you, like, you are busy, but you say that I must give God time. Holy, acceptable. You've got many things to do, but I must give God time. I'm tired, but I must give God time. Amen. I'm sick, but I must give God time. Amen. Whatever is going on in your life, God wants you to give him your time. Amen. Amen. Verse 2. And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Amen. Put your hands together for this scripture. Very, very powerful. Amen. So the Bible says, do not be conformed to this world. Do not be conformed. In other words, you know, if you take water and you put it in a square container, right? What will it do? It will take the shape of that container. If you put it on a cylindrical container or circular container, what will it do? It will take that shape. And so on and so forth. So the water is conforming to the container. And many of God's people, unfortunately, are like water. Whatever Satan presents, anything. But God says, don't be like that. But rather he says, be renewed, or rather be transformed by the renewing of your mind. That when transformed means be changed. In other words, don't be like everybody else. And it says, how can you change? By renewing your mind. In other words, your mind must not think like how other minds think. Your mind must come under the influence of God. Your mind must come under the influence of the Word of God. Your mind must come under the influence of the Holy Spirit. It's very important. Now, Jesus coming into the world for 1,000 years, he'll be working to renew our minds. It will take 1,000 years to renew our minds, to cause us to think correctly. Imagine how sick we are if Jesus himself, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the one, you know, who defeated death, he rose from the dead. But when it comes to you, he needs one. He said, God, wait. Give me 1,000 years to actually correct. To renew us, to make us holy, to make us acceptable to God, to transform us. It's going to take him 1,000 years. So he's coming to restore, so that our character will be good, so that our nature would be good. Some of us, we love shortcuts. You can't do anything without taking shortcuts. Some of you sitting here, you are born again, child of God, tongue talking. But let there be exam. Someone was telling me recently, in the church that we used to be in, we used to write exams in that church. Do you get what I'm saying? And one day, we went to write exams, and we were writing them on a computer. And this guy told me that there was someone, remember, it's a church, right? He said that somebody came and was sitting in that computer, and the exam began. And somebody took the book and put it by the thighs. We're in church. We are writing. And the guy will look at the question, and then, what a shock. Now imagine what this person does outside church. He's not joking now outside church. So some of us just have this nature, just this character that is broken. Are you listening to me? One day, and the children here, I don't know if I should say what I'm about to say. But anyway, I'll say it. A certain person got born again. And this person, before he got born again, was a porn star. You know what's a porn star? He used to make money by making very funny videos. Then he got born again. Do you know what I'm talking about? You are lost. Okay. Then he got born again. And he became a very good gentleman, to the point that he became a pastor in the church. Then one day, they found out that, hey, this guy, he's his brother again, who's a pastor, but is now moving around, sleeping with many, many people in the church. So then they called him and said, "Brother, you're born again now, and you're even a pastor. What are you doing?" And he said, "Oh, pastor, I'm just showing them love." You see that there's something broken in him. The word had entered him to the point that he was even preaching it to others. But there was a certain part in him that was not fixed. Do you understand? And to him, he didn't say anything wrong. He was like, "No, I'm just, this is my way to show you that I love you." Oh. So we all need to be fixed. Maybe our problem was not being a porn star, but we all have all sorts of problems that are there. True or not true? Yeah. So Jesus will take 1,000 years to make us holy, to make us acceptable unto God. He has to renew us. And not only us, but the whole of nature. When you look at this grass, it's supposed to be green. One day I was talking to my grandmother. She said that in our time, it says that when you drive, you know, on the road, on the left and the right, it says that though you'll hardly see grass. You'll just see flowers everywhere. But today, you can't see anything like that. You can see that even nature, slowly but surely, has been corrupt. Many animals have been extinct. The Bible in the book of Romans chapter 8 tells us that nature is under a curse. Everything is corrupt. So in those 1,000 years that Jesus will come to reign, even nature will change. One of the things that will happen, if you read the book of Genesis chapter 3, you will realize that Eve was talking to a snake. They had a full-blown conversation. The snake said, "What did God say?" And Eve said, "No, God said we must not eat from this tree." And the snake said, "No, God lied to you. He knows that when you..." And Eve was busy talking to the snake, life. And this wasn't a spiritual snake. It was a natural snake. So what does that mean? It means that there was a time that animals could speak. In the book of Numbers, a certain prophet was riding his donkey. And as he was riding, an angel appeared, and the donkey could see the angel, but the prophet could not see the angel. And the angel had a sword, and the angel lifted up his sword to kill the prophet. So the donkey, seeing that, "Hey, we are about to die here," he tried to, you know, protect himself, and he fell down. And the prophet was angry, and he kicked the donkey, and he said, "The foolish donkey." And he rode the donkey again. Then the donkey saw the angel again, and the angel lifted up his sword, and the donkey, you know, tried to block and even fell on the prophet. Yarr, the prophet was angry. When this thing happened to the third time, the Bible says, and God gave the donkey speech. In other words, the donkey began to speak. But this prophet was so angry, he didn't even realize that the donkey is talking. Then the donkey said to the prophet, "Look, I've been yours for how many years now? Have you ever seen me behave like this?" The donkey is talking to the prophet. And the prophet said, "I'm going to kill you." So all I'm trying to say is that there will come a time where we'll be able to converse with animals. This is how it used to be in the past, before sin entered the world. In those 1,000 years, God will change that. That animals will be able to speak again. You see, Jesus will come to renew. Jesus will come to restore all the things that have been corrupt because of the devil and because of sin. Hallelujah. Are you learning something? Now, in those 1,000 years, who will be around? So, there's going to be 2 categories of people. There's going to be what we call natural people, and there'll be those who are called resurrected people. It will be 2 different types of people. Now, who are the natural people? The natural people are the people who are going to survive that final 7 years of tribulation and the rise and fall of the Antichrist. Those who don't die within that time period will be the natural people who will live in that 1,000-year period. Are you listening to me? And then those who would have died before then and within that time period, who are saints, those will be resurrected and they will come back with Jesus and they'll be living in that time period. So we'll have natural people and we'll have resurrected people. They'll be extremely different. The resurrected people will be like Jesus. And by that I mean, one day when the apostles were praying, Jesus could suddenly just appear in the room. And the Bible was careful to detail that the doors were locked, the windows were closed, but Jesus just appeared in that room. So the resurrected people will have supernatural capabilities. But the natural people will be like you and me today. They'll remain natural for all eternity if they survive. Hallelujah. So there'll be those two types of people in that time period. And my prayer for you, that you'll be part of the resurrected people. In fact, it's my prayer for you and for me. Hallelujah. May we be part of the resurrected people. Because the Bible says, whoever will be part of the first resurrection will not be harmed by the second death. So what does that mean? It means that anyone who does not form part of the first resurrection, which I've explained, can still die. So within those 1,000 years, there will be people who will still be dying. Although the lifespan in that time will be longer. In fact, one of the scriptures in Isaiah, let's go there, Isaiah 65 quickly. The book of Isaiah chapter 65. Let's read from verse 20. Are you there? There shall be no more thence an infant in those days, nor an old man that had not filled his days. In other words, no one will die young in those days. Everyone will die at their old age. For the child shall die 100 years old. What does that mean? It means that when someone dies at an age of 100, it will be said that the person was a child. That's long life. Hallelujah. So the natural people who will be living in that 1,000-year period are going to live long. That, imagine, at the age of 100, they'll be saying you're a young person. But unfortunately, the Bible says that the last enemy that Jesus will deal with is death. And Jesus will deal with that enemy at the end of the 1,000 years. So in those 1,000 years, there will be people who will still die, unfortunately. And those people who will die in that time period, their destiny will be hell. Because there are people that, even though they'll be under the rulership of Jesus Christ, they'll be under the dominion of Jesus, some will still reject. Isn't it amazing? He would have come, the guy died, laid in the grave for 3 days. Resurrected, went to heaven, came and fetched the church, resurrected. I still need to study. I'm sure he resurrected billions of people, took them to heaven, came back with them, killed billions of people, takes over the world. But there are some people who are still not going to believe. There are some people who are still going to reject. And those types of people will be dying within that time period. Amen. Hey! Ask your neighbor, are you one of those people? You look like you are one of them. So it's better to believe now. It's better to trust God now. It's better to suffer now. Because those who will be there during that 7-year period, I told you the horror that's going to be there. Just better take yourself through the valley of the shadow of death that David was talking about. Though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Rather be like David than to try to enjoy the whole world, than to be moving from party to party, than to be drinking all the most expensive alcohols. When we went to the funeral yesterday, when we there, they wanted us to be there at 4 a.m., by the way. So we got there around 5:30 in the morning, and they said we are going to start by burying. So we went to the graveyards. While I'm there, I start smelling alcohol. And I start looking around, say, alcohol, we're at the graveyard. Where on earth could alcohol be coming from? And I start looking around, and I can't see. I was starting to think, am I having a vision or something? Like, why am I smelling alcohol? And I was. Then one guy went to fetch water somewhere, and I saw him. He was so drunk that just by him being around, he had a fragrance of alcohol. So after everything happened and we are sitting with the family, they told us that no, the people who dig the hole, their payment is alcohol. I said, what a shock. So by the time they come to dig, they were already drunk. And they dug and finished. And then when the coffin went down, they put it back. Then while we were sitting with the family, I saw a huge group of people coming to sit by the road. And I said, who are these people? They said, those are the guys who dug. Now they are coming for round two to drink. I said, what? In the morning, they were already... And now they're coming for round two. I said, what a shock. So, rather clean yourself. Rather go through the pressures now. I remember in those days, when I was a young man, when I started working, I was sitting with my colleagues. The bosses were gone to meetings. And there was three of us. And the one started talking about his girlfriend. And the other one was a lady and started talking about his boyfriend. And I knew this conversation, it's going somewhere. But I'm at work, I couldn't run away. So they asked me, sir, do you have a girlfriend? And I said, no. And they said, why? And I said, oh, I'm waiting on the Lord. Man. I've never been laughed at like that. Have you been laughed at that somebody is pointing at you and crying? The person was dead with laughter. And this guy that was laughing at me, one day I had a meeting in Limpopo and he had to drive me to Limpopo. When we came back from the meeting, he said, can I just pass somewhere before we go to the office? I said, no problem. And when we stopped there, I saw two girls coming towards the car. I said, Jesus. And I was sitting there, and the one girl, you know, or the guy said, I just want to see my friend. And I said, okay, maybe it's... When he met the friend, I mean, I don't have friends like that, the way that they greeted each other. The way they were kissing each other. What a shock. I said, what type of friend is this? So the the one girl was there and the other girl came to me. I said, in the name of Jesus Christ, as I was sitting there. You people think I'm joking. In the name of Jesus Christ, I shall not come out of this car. In the name of Jesus. And the lady came by my window and greeted me. I said, hi. And I just kept quiet and looked focused and straight. Until she saw that this guy, and she went and joined their friends. Oh man, they laughed at me. I felt like a fool. But it's rather you go through that now than for you to experience it, you know, when God is now judging you. For God to bring wrath upon you. Rather experience it now. One particular brother, he was redoing his matric. Many years after he had finished matric. So I asked him, I said, why are you, what happened to you? And he said, when I was in matric, I used to have a minimum of 7 girlfriends at a time. A minimum. And he was even a top guy at the school because people were saying, man, how do you do it? How can they never know that, you know, there's another one and another one? Like, you are the man. And he was, and he said, I spent all my time working on making sure that these people don't find out each other. And as a result, he failed matric. And he said, all my friends passed matric. Some of my friends are engineers. Some of my friends are this. Some of my friends are that. Now that he's an old big man now. Now he's now trying to go fix his life. Rather suffer now. Rather go through what you have to go through now. Are you listening to me? Stop rejecting wisdom. Stop rejecting the voice of God. Stop rejecting the voice of the Holy Ghost. Rather obey now. Rather go through what you have to go through now. Are you listening to me?
Amen.
All right. Let me finish off. Oh, Jesus, you are good. Amen. So there'll be natural people, there'll be resurrected people. Jesus will be there in person. He's going to change everything. Nature will change. Animals will be restored to the point that they'll be able to speak in those days. You know, nature, things will no longer die. Things will no longer decay. It will be beautiful. Because he'll be breaking away the curse. He'll be defeating all his enemies little by little. Amen. And then what he's going to do in the 1,000 years, he's going to establish Jerusalem as his capital. So Jerusalem, like, you know, what is the capital of South Africa? It's Pretoria, right? And Cape Town. And each country has their own capital, true or not true. So Jerusalem will become the capital of the world. It will not be the capital of Israel. It will become the capital of the world. Amen. So it's going to be wonderful. It's going to be fantastic. And all of us must be there. And your address must no longer be South Africa at the end. In those days, your address must say Jerusalem at the end. Are you listening to me? If it doesn't say Jerusalem, chances are it means that you'll be a natural person. Because the ones who will be allowed in the capital city will be the resurrected saints. They are going to live there. I was telling my wife recently and said, you must love Israel because your future address is going to be in Jerusalem. So the people who hate Israel are people who are saying, I don't want to be there when Jesus comes. I said, okay, you be there. Me, I'm going to support Israel. I don't care what the world says. I care what the Bible says. Hallelujah. Put your hands together for Jesus. So Jesus will be doing this work of restoration for 1,000 years. Now, towards the end of this 1,000 years, everything I'm saying, you'll find it in Revelations 20 and 21, okay? When you get home, read. At the end of this 1,000 years, Satan will be released from his prison. And when he is released from his imprisonment, the Bible says he's going to go to the ends of the world. And he's going to deceive the nations and convince them to besiege Jerusalem, which will be the capital city of the world in those days. In other words, Satan will raise a new army to come and fight Jesus in Jerusalem. And they will surround the city and they will want to take over it and fight Jesus. Then the Bible says, fire will come from heaven and devour all those people. So there won't even be a fight. God will just release fire like he did in the days of Elijah and will devour all those people. And then once that is done, those people who will be devoured will go to hell. And then Satan himself will now be taken to his final imprisonment where he will be for all eternity, which is the lake of fire. Hallelujah. So, this tells you that during those 1,000 years, there will be people who are not really convinced about Jesus. There will be people whose hearts are not really for Jesus. And when Satan is released, all those people will join Satan's team to come and fight against Jesus. And they will all be killed in a moment of time when God releases that fire. Amen. Tell your neighbor, say, my neighbor, let's make sure that we are genuine believers. Yeah, genuine. Don't allow Satan to deceive you. Hallelujah. So he will be taken into the lake of fire. And then all those who will be destroyed by that fire will be taken to hell. Now, after all that has happened, then there will be what we call the second resurrection. This second resurrection is the resurrection of everyone who rejected time in their, I said time, who rejected Christ in their lifetime. The Bible calls them the wicked, or the Bible calls them goats. Can you imagine today when you are a famous person, they say you are a goat? But the Bible labels goats as people who are destined for hell. And there you are, I'm a goat. Hey, I'm a goat. Hey! Better read your Bible before you are excited by nonsense. You are not saying amen.
Amen.
My people perish for lack of knowledge. So all those people will be resurrected. The Bible says the sea will give up the death. Anywhere where people have died, that died not knowing Jesus or have rejected him or, you know, loved the world more than they love God. All such people will be resurrected. From the time that people died in the days of Adam up until the end of that millennium, all those people who died without knowing Christ or having any form of relationship with God, such people will be resurrected. Then they will be judged by God. And then they will be sent into an eternal prison. They'll go join Satan in the lake of fire. Amen. And like I told you, God is going to give them a special body. A body that, you know, because now, if we can burn you, precious, your body is going to be affected by the fire. And eventually you'll become ash, isn't it? Now God is going to give them a special body. The fire will not destroy their bodies, but their body will feel the pain. So they'll be fried for all eternity. That will be the music of that place. For all eternity. Me too, Sister Andes. Amen. And like I told you, every now and then, God will take all of us to hell and we view all the people burning. And then we go back. And then after, later, you'll say, let's go see again for all eternity. Just to remind us what God has done for us and what He has saved us from. Amen. It's painful, isn't it? Doesn't it seem sad? But God gives everyone a chance. People like I, yo, and they don't think that, hey, there's a future. They'll reject God for I, yo. Some it will be for money, for all different reasons. That's why I say, rather go through what you have to go through now. Rather be a zero now, if you have to be a zero. Rather let all your friends reject you now, it's fine. But you know that you and God. Hallelujah. Put your hands together for Jesus. Amen. So, in a nutshell, or summarized, this is what will happen in that 1,000 years. As soon as the 1,000-year period finishes, the Bible says that the earth itself will be renewed. There's going to be a fire that will be released from heaven. And it's going to come, I call it a healing fire. It's going to come on the earth and it's going to kill everything that is not of God. And then that fire will refresh and renew everything that is of God. So the Bible says there will be a new heaven and a new earth. This new heaven is not talking about heaven where God is. It talks about, you know, as far as your eye can see. The earth is what we are standing on. What your eye can see is what the Bible refers to as heaven. We call that the first heaven. And then the universe, we call that the second heaven. And there's actually a real planet that we call the third heavens. And that's where God lives. Are you listening to me? So when the Bible says heaven, you know, Jesus said heaven and earth will pass away. It's a real thing that He's talking about. So it will be renewed by the fire of God. He will renew the earth, there'll be a new earth. He'll renew the heaven, there'll be a new heaven. And in that new place, there'll be no more sin, there'll be no more death, there'll be no more crying, there'll be no more tears, there'll be no more sorrow. Everyone will love God. Everyone will live for God. Everyone will worship God. It's going to be what people in this world call a utopia. It's going to be a nice place. Imagine when you are praying and you experience the presence of God. Have you noticed how incredible that feeling is? Now imagine when that feeling is in this whole world 24/7. So it's going to be fantastic. And then once God has renewed the earth with that fire, then a city that is currently in heaven is called Heavenly Jerusalem, or it's called the New Jerusalem. Jesus is currently building it now as we speak. It's going to come, descend onto the earth, and it's going to be positioned where the natural earthly Jerusalem is. And then in that new Jerusalem, the Bible says that there will be no temple there. There will be no church there. Because there, Jesus Himself will be there. And the Father Himself, the Bible says, they will establish their thrones in the new Jerusalem. And the Bible says that in those days, we will see God's face. The Bible says, if you look at God, you will die. Because there was a time that Moses said, I want to see you face to face. Moses said, hey, God said, hey, you don't know what you're asking for. If you see my face, you will die. But in those days, we will be privileged and honored to see the face of the Father. And there's no need of a temple there. Because you'll be able to go to Him personally. And talk to Him personally. I listen to me. It's going to be beautiful. It's going to be wonderful. And for all eternity, will live in the presence and glory of God. Amen. Put your hands together for Jesus, and you may rise to your feet. How many want to be in the millennium? Decide to follow Jesus now. Love him when? Now. Then you will definitely be there. Most definitely. Hallelujah. Well, today I'm ending my series on the prophetic timeline of God. I think I've given you enough information for you to know and understand what will happen. Hallelujah. And to comfort you, you know. And when I was at the funeral yesterday, I was just meditating and thinking that, you know, there are times where we go through things in life, and as a result of what we are going through, are you here? Sometimes we allow the emotion of what we are going through at that current season to dictate the direction of our lives. Pastor, what are you saying? At times when people are going through sorrow, when people are going through pain, when people are going through grief, let's say maybe your husband cheated on you, or Mangoba cheated on you, or whatever. Then the pain that you felt as a result can cause you to hate all men. Do you understand? Your hatred for men is a result of an emotion that you felt at a certain time. And there's many, many different examples I can give you. But what I'm trying to say to you is that let God and His Word be above anything and everything in your life. That even if you are feeling the worst type of pain that you are feeling, even if you are going through the worst type of experience that you are going through, when the Word of God comes to correct you, allow. Someone say, allow. Allow. Don't fight it. Don't fight it. Yes, you have been pained. Yes, it is painful. Yes, it is sore. It's not nice. But within your pain, don't let your pain be bigger than the Word of God. Within your sorrow, don't let your sorrow be bigger than the Word of God. When you are going through things and the Holy Ghost brings a word into your mind, allow yourself to be counseled by that word, to be spoken by that word. If the Word of God says rejoice evermore, even if you don't feel like rejoicing, just decide to pick yourself up, just decide to keep moving forward, and sooner or later you will begin rejoicing. Hallelujah. Yeah. Some people, when they experience death in their family, the death kills them. They stop living. But my Bible says that when Moses died, God said to Joshua, Joshua, my servant Moses is now dead. Now I need you to rise up. Someone say, rise up. God didn't say, oh, mushushwile. He said, he's dead, but we need to move on. And is it that God is an emotionless person? No. It's because Moses is in heaven. As God is talking to Joshua, maybe Moses is standing right there next to God. So God is not now lingering, hey, ushwile, ushwile. No, he's here with God. So allow the Word of God to be stronger than any suffering or pain that you are going through. Hallelujah. I want you to talk to the Lord. Thank Him for what you have learned over this time. Thank Him for the understanding that He has given you. Thank you that He has made you a stronger Christian. Hallelujah. Open your mouth and talk to the Lord. Just thank Him. Thank you.
Thank you for listening to the powerful Word of God. We hope you are blessed by this message. For more inquiries, go to healingfireministries.org or email us at info@healingfireministries.com or call at 072-5912-858. God bless you.